Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way, and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he is now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, for what we've had read to us this evening and for the words that we've heard sung to us from Psalm 3. Father God, we thank you that we can trust your word, that your word is dependable and it can speak right into our hearts and minds. Father God, we pray that you'd open up your words to us this evening, that as we talk, as we share, as we reflect on the scriptures, you would speak clearly into our hearts and our minds. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to move this because this is a bit cramped for me. No, I can't fit. You're right. Thanks, Lisa, for pointing that out. So, unfortunately, we don't have Nick here. And Lisa very kindly said that she thought I was Olympian. Well, I don't agree, really. I haven't really won any medals in my life. There are some here that have won far more medals than me already, and they're a third of my age. But I thought I would share a story with you. And it's not one of my successful things, but it's a story of when I was at school. So I'm going back a long time. And it's a story of a cross-country run that I had to do. Now, nowadays, when children do cross-country at school, they don't go outside the school gates, it would appear. They just do laps of the school field. But when I was a lad, we had to put on our PE kit and our footy boots, and we had to go out across the farmers' fields and tracks and whatever, and all the way round the school and the surrounding area and back into the school to finish. And I went to school over in Dunmo, so it was very rural, very muddy, and good fun, maybe. But I could do cross-country. I'm not a sprinter. I was never built for speed. But I could do cross-country to a degree. And this particular time, it was the inter-house cross-country. And we had a very, very competitive house head of house, and he was a PE teacher, so he knew that I could run the cross country, and I was never going to win it because there's always people better than me, but I would finish reasonably well. This particular event, however, I got halfway round and was getting a bit bored because I wasn't going to win, and there were some lovely blackberry bushes, so I stopped with some friends. And we ate a few, but then we decided to have a blackberry fight and ambush other runners as they were running by. So consequently, by the time we got back to the school, we were a little bit stained and we were didn't really achieve the times that our sports person, our head of house, would expect. And needless to say, he was a little bit upset because he wanted to win. And I think he believed that his house would win this year because he had a consistent team. And we kind of let him down. We kind of lost our focus and, had a great time eating blackberries and fighting. But what's my school misdemeanor got to do with the Olympic ideals? And more importantly, I guess, what has it got to do with the passage that we've heard read to us this evening from Hebrews? Well, let me read that passage to you again, this time from Peterson's paraphrase, the Message. And it says this: do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honour, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he ploughed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Now, I was never going to win the cross country. I knew it, my head of house knew it. But I think the thing that disappointed him the most was the fact that I didn't try. And as a team, we didn't show determination, effort, application. And in the context of this evening, we didn't show courage other than in the fight of blackberries. Now, I think this passage this evening is very appropriate as we kick off this summer series of Olympic ideals and the whole idea of courage. You know, courage is about courage to keep going when life is tough. Courage to keep going when it feels that the whole world is against you. Courage to hold on to what you believe in. And courage to be faithful and to follow Christ. Now, when Paul was writing this letter to the Hebrews, he was writing to a group of Christians who were struggling. He is writing to Christians who are at the point of giving up. They are weary. They are battle-worn. They're at the point of defeat. But Paul is encouraging them to keep going. Now, in this letter, Paul draws on the teachings of the old prophets, and he uses some well-known phrases in the text that would inspire the Christians he's writing to keep going. And in the section of the letter that we've looked at this evening, Paul draws on the example of Jesus, who faced more persecution and rejection than any of us ever will, even to the point of death. And he uses the example of Jesus to inspire them and us to keep going. Paul is reminding us that the Christian race is not a short sprint. It's a marathon. It's not about setting out to win, because that's not really an option. Jesus has won that already. It's about setting out to complete the race and to finish the event. Now, I think the language that Paul is using here is kind of like from the film Cool Runnings. Who's seen Cool Runnings? Based on the Jamaican bobsleigh team. There are lots of times we've worn the video out because Cameron loves it. Well, if you've seen that film, you will know that everyone laughs at the bobsleigh team when they get there. They don't take them seriously. They think they're there just to kind of make a nuisance of the whole event and spoil it. But eventually they win people over. And then at the end of the film and their final run, they have this chance of kind of maybe getting a medal and achieving. And they bomb down the run, and towards the end their sled breaks and they crash and they bounce kind of down the slope. But when they get to the end, they just want to finish. They just want to finish what they've started. They just want to complete the journey that they set out upon. For all the ridicule, for all the stuff that was going on, they've got to that point, and you know what? This is just about finishing. And so if you've seen the film, they get out of the sled, they lift it up, and they carry it across the finishing line. No hope of a medal, no chance of winning, but for them it's about finishing what they've started. Courage to keep going and to see it through. So this evening I want to think about how do we develop that kind of courage in our lives? How do we develop this never say die attitude in our Christian faith? And I think Paul says three things here for us to think on. The first thing he says is get rid of the things that slow us down. Listen again to the first part of the reading. So then let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. You've got water coming in? Okay. Maybe Paul can shut some of the windows over the TV monitors in particular before they go bang. So, athletes at the Olympics do not compete in jeans and T-shirts or with heavy boots on. In the ancient Olympics, the athletes would have raced naked, so they had nothing to hinder their performance. And today there is a lot of time and money spent on sports clothing development to make sure that it is fast and as light as possible. There was all this controversy, wasn't there, with the swimmers in their all-in-one swimsuits that were actually making them quicker, and they suddenly decided that this was too much of an aid, so they've kind of changed the rules a bit on that. But development, technology, to make people go as quickly as they can, to give the people the edge to win a medal. Athletes strip down to race. They cast off anything that may hinder their performance. And it's that image that Paul is using here. This sporting image would have been well understood by his audience. And Paul translates this image to talk about the Christian faith. Paul encourages us to strip away the things in our lives that hinder us. Those things that we cling to that cost us our race. A bit like the blackberries for me. So here's a question for you. And I want you to turn around and talk to people. Because it's not just about me talking tonight. I want you to have a little think. What are some of the things that we may need to strip away? What are some of the things that hinder us? What are some of the things in life, generally, that can block us and stop us from competing at our best? Just a minute or two, turn around, have a chat, and then we'll see what you've come up with. Okay, I think you've probably had long enough. What did we come up with? Do you want to shout out? Do you want a mic? Have a mic. Shout out one or two of the things that...
We were just talking about it, and we just finished on the point that we said that it's good to have food for the soul, but not food for the stomach. Food for the stomach is a very transitory thing that, you know, just supplies the body. But if you can get your aim higher and focus on God, then you can have food for the soul, and that's much more nourishing.
Anyone else? Attitude. Go on, expand on that for me.
Well, the attitude of selfishness and laziness, in the sense that you get up in the morning, oh, I can't be bothered doing anything other than something for myself, and not going on from there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the kind of the attitude that we have and how that hinders us, maybe the baggage that we carry. Distractions. Come on, say what kind of distractions? What do you mean? Did you discuss that?
Yeah, apathy and busyness, things that get in the way and put us off what we're meant to be doing.
Okay.
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure. Okay. Anyone else? Sorry? They said busyness here as well. Anyone else? What about you young'uns at the back? You knew I was going to pick on you, didn't you? Just want to shout out anything? Money? Okay. Yeah? Anything else? Other people's judgments? Okay. is that you're worried about what other people think of you. So is that about self-worth, self-confidence kind of stuff, or is that... Okay. Anyone else? Fear of the unknown. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I put a few things down in terms of maybe some of the things that we might carry around. And I've kind of thought about maybe some of the dreams that we have for our lives. I guess when we're growing up, you young'uns again at the back, you have certain dreams in your lives, things you want to achieve, stuff you want to do with your life, maybe the kind of person that you want to end up being, the kind of career that you have, whether or not you're going to get married, whether or not you're going to have children, you know, what kind of car you're going to drive, whether or not you're going to have fame and success, what kind of friends you're going to be around, who your friends would be, and your family. And I think in a way, maybe some of those can be distractions, things that we want that maybe aren't really part of God's plan for us. And until we can let go of those and say to God, well, I don't quite know, this is what I would like, but it's over to you. Until we can let go of those and let God take control and take us where he wants us to go, maybe some of that is the stuff that hinders us and stops us being the people that God wants us to be and helping us to complete the race that we're in. But Paul doesn't just stop there. He goes on to talk about casting off the sins which we cling to. Maybe we delude ourselves that they're okay, they're not really sins, some of the things we get up to. You know, they aren't really slowing us down in our race. We can get away with those. God doesn't really mind. They're not really that big. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. But Paul is saying, no, get rid of all those things. Strip yourself naked, as it were, so that there is nothing to hinder you from the race ahead. So the first thing we need to think about is to get rid of the things that slow us down. Examine our lives and think about what is there that's going on for us that's slowing us down, that's holding us back in our race, in our life, our walk, our journey with God. The second thing that Paul tells us, and I've already mentioned it this evening, is about the fact that the Christian race is a marathon, not a sprint. Now, Paul doesn't actually use the words marathon, not a sprint, but it is clear that in his mind, he sees the Christian journey as a long-distance event. This is not something that is over and done with in 9.9 seconds, or however quick Usain Bolt can run the 100 metres. It's something that requires staying power, something that is for the long haul. Now, I've never run a marathon, you'll be surprised to hear, but I have heard that each athlete has to run through something they call the wall. Now, the wall isn't a barrier that's placed in the middle of the track, because that would just be silly, wouldn't it? It's not a physical barrier. It's a mental and psychological or physical barrier, a physical challenge, which is different for each person, I guess, and will hit it at a different point in the race. And it's that point in that race where you feel that you can't go on, when the body feels spent of energy and each movement of your arms or your legs is painful. It's a point in the race where the mind is saying it's had enough and it can't go on. Then the only way to finish the race is to get through the wall. No matter the pain, no matter the mental torture you might be going through, if you want to finish that race, then it means you've got to break through that wall. Now, I believe it's possible to kind of battle those effects or delay the effects of the wall with good preparation, good discipline, good training, and then as you enter the race, following your plans through. By eating maybe the right kinds of food, pre-race. By drinking the right kind of fluids, making sure you've stocked up on the right kind of stuff to help you as the race goes on. And by having the right kind of equipment. But even with all of this, the wall will still be there. and the wall needs to be overcome. And I suggest to you tonight that Paul understood that this wall was also true for Christians running the Christian race. And Paul is warning us that we too will face the wall on our marathon. And he wants us to be prepared, just as the athletes prepare themselves before they start running. So another question for you to turn to each other. How do we prepare? How do we prepare? What can we do as we're on this race? What can we do to prepare for the times when we hit that wall, when life feels tough, when the journey feels impossible, when we feel we're totally spent and we can't go on and we just want to give up? What can we do to prepare ourselves to overcome? Just a couple of minutes. Turn to each other and see what you come up with. Okay then, let's see what we've come up with. What kind of things can we do to prepare ourselves for the wall in our Christian journey? Anyone got any ideas they want to shout out? Yeah, Roscoe.
Talking and sharing with others and sharing the problem, and then the problem becomes less of a problem.
Okay. Anyone else? Hang on, John. Say that again.
Going to something like Spring Harvest, I always find is quite a boost. I think it's partly because we can go and be invisible, and I quite like going and being invisible and going and receiving lots of teaching without feeling any responsibility for doing any of the work. That's quite nice. But also I think there's something uplifting about being in a company of that many people and knowing that that many people are also worshipping God, following God, trying to live their lives in the way that he wants them to. And also there's been some very good teaching, I think, in the last couple of years we've been.
Okay. John?
I was saying I don't personally think there is an easy solution to this. It's only by going through a pain barrier that you understand what the pain barrier is. And the next one is slightly easier. And in our Christian life, we go through a number of pain barriers. And yet each time we go through, there is more confidence that God is with us and God loves us.
Good point. Thanks, John. Yeah. Thanks, Marion.
It's just knowing that I won't be on my own now. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to run. The church isn't ready for that, Matt.
Sort of linking on to what John was saying, looking at your past experiences and trying to remember those, whether it's writing it down or whether it's just keeping a memory, a bank of them, and seeing where you've been so you can, using your marathon analogy of thinking back on all the training that you've done and of all what's brought you up to this point and using that as a confidence to press on and press through.
Thank you. Anyone else? I'll come to you in a minute, Grace.
Reading the Bible and praying before you have the problem okay. So that you can look back on those times of,
yeah.
And
so
the promises
of God. So kind
of
maintaining a spiritual discipline. Yeah. Okay.
I think actually there's only so much you can prepare for because every race is different and every person's race is different. It's like if you're looking at it as a track, every track's different and everybody's got their own different marathon and their own different race to run. So it's so much as you can prepare all you like, but as long as you've got the trust, then you're going to be okay. So actually just trusting that God's going to be there to help you is the best preparation you can have.
Okay.
A small one that makes a big difference. Developing good friendships, they make a real difference. And Martin had a really good one. Remembering the goal, like seeing Jesus and all that awaits us.
Brilliant. Okay, yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in what you've all been saying. You know, it's not about, you can never totally prepare yourself for what life's going to chuck at you, and you do learn from your experiences, and when you go through those tough times, it's about kind of moving on from those, learning from those, becoming stronger because of those. But I think also, as we've said, you know, if we can get into some good spiritual disciplines, you know, prayer, Bible reading, friendship groups, small groups in church, church life itself, will all help us to maintain our focus and to help us prepare properly for when the tough times come. Otherwise, we hit the tough times and we've got no knowledge of who God is and what he's been through and what he wants to do for us and support us, and we find ourselves floundering. Yeah. Okay, yeah, fair point. So worshipping with our lives. Do you all hear that? That idea of worship and being with God. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Okay. I think some of this can sound quite glib in a way, though, can't it? You know, it's very easy to say, well, we should pray, we should read our Bibles, we should do this, we should attend church. And that's all maybe kind of, we hear that all the time, and we grow up and we hear that. But I think what Paul is saying here as well, and what Paul wants us to remember, is that Jesus too faced the wall on several occasions. You know, Jesus faced some very bleak and very tough times in his own life. Persecution, rejection, beatings, and even crucifixion. And maybe we could say that Jesus' wall was actually cross-shaped as well, and he had to overcome that and get through that. Jesus, better than anyone, knows what it is to suffer, but to keep going. To have courage in adversity and to see the race through to the very end. And Paul is saying that we should look to him for our inspiration. So get rid of the things that slow us down. Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And finally, keeping your eye on the finish line, which is what Martin said over there. Well done, Martin. Did you read my sermon? Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. Now, during my ill-fated cross-country race, if you can remember that far back, I got distracted by the blackberry bush. I lost sight of the finish, the prize that awaited me, which wasn't a medal, but a hot shower. And I got distracted. The thought of having a laugh, of enjoying myself, was too much of a pull, and I lost my focus, which was to get round that race. But how do we stay focused in our faith? How do we see the race through to the end with all of life's distractions? We live in a world full of distractions, of excitement, of easy options. And I think if we're honest, we would all choose pleasure over pain. And if we could avoid the wall, then we would. So how on earth are we expected to stay focused on the finish line? Well, Paul encourages us to draw inspiration from the story of Jesus. When we feel ourselves losing focus, when we see our courage failing and our focus slipping, we are to remember again the actions of Jesus, his life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection. We are to remind ourselves of all that he went through for us, and we are to use that to draw strength for ourselves. There is nothing we will go through that he has not experienced. There is nothing that will be said to us that has not already been said to him. There is no pain, no loss, no rejection that we can face that he has not already had to deal with himself. What gave Jesus the courage to cope was the fact that he knew what was waiting for him on the other side of the wall. Eternity with his Father in heaven. And that too is our reward. That is our prize. We'll not win the race that honours Jesus. But we can still finish the race and claim the reward that he promises. The reward of eternal life. So courage. Be strong. Rid yourselves of the things that get in the way, whatever that might be. Be prepared for the long haul. Equip yourself for the race. And most importantly, stay focused on the finish line. Eternity with God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus, for his life, his teaching, for his death, for his resurrection. We thank you for his example. Father God, we pray that as each of us journeys along our Christian journey, we would keep our eyes fixed on you, that we would draw strength from Jesus, that we would look to him for our guidance, for our support. Father God, I pray for each one of us here, however we are, wherever we are on our journey, whatever we're feeling right now, whether we're a wall experience, whether we're running easily along the road. Father God, I pray that we would know you close to us, that we would know that you are there with us, encouraging us, guiding us, leading us, until that time when we stand before you and claim the prize, which is life, eternal life with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.